Hello, and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. As always, thank you very much for coming back. You know I always appreciate it. I know that you go through great trials and tribulations to get here every week, week after week, and month after month. In fact, I do believe that this week makes 4 months. Well, good for me, and good for you, because you keep coming, and that makes me very happy. You could write a little more. You could call a little more. You could perhaps guess next week's book a little more, but I'm not complaining. You know, who am I to complain to you people? You're all busy. You have lives. Don't you worry about me. I'll just be here reading and talking. That's it. Anyway, been an interesting week. We've got, of course, the end of Obama's 100 days. That's pretty cool. We have the Mexican man-bird-pig super Captain Trips death flu that's probably not going to be nearly as exciting as that sounds. We've got Golden Week starting up here in Japan, which is a whole week with just holidays and everybody else gets weeks off. It's nuts. And I bought myself a brand new headset mic, so if the sound quality for this podcast is a little bit different, if it sounds perhaps a little more professional and a little better, well, that's why. It's not because I'm professional and better. I have nicer equipment, that's all. Anyway, last week I gave you a clue as to the identity of this week's review, and I gave it to you in a rather odd-sounding foreign language phrase, which went, Silfle hraka u emblir ra. And I'm glad to say that one person got it. Of course, one person guessed, but one person got it. And reclaiming his title as the top of the guessers, as the king, it is my brother Paul. Thank you, Paul. Well done to you. Bravo. And he guessed correctly that this week's book is Watership Down by Richard Adams. So good for him. Watership Down. You know, whenever anybody asks me, what is your favorite book? I'm first tempted to tell them that that is a ridiculous question. You know, favorite book, it's a very fluid thing. Depending on my mood and my attitude and what I need at the moment, my favorite book could be any number of books. So I usually give, you know, a top 5 or a top 10. And this book always, always, always comes in that top 5 and top 10. There's really, it has a permanent position. It was the first adult-length book that I read when I was in elementary school, and really I have every intention of getting my hands on a copy for my goddaughter at some point soon. It's something I keep intending to do but forgetting to do, which makes me a very bad godfather indeed. You know, I remember watching the movie when they used to show it on CBS way back in those days beyond recall, and I remember it scaring the hell out of me, but I'd watch it again the next year. Now I have it on DVD. Why should this book, out of all the books that I've ever read in my life, and I've read a lot, why should this book stay so dear to me? I mean, I honestly have no idea. Maybe because, well, I do have an idea, otherwise I wouldn't be reviewing it. There was a rhetorical, I have no idea. Stop bothering me! Anyway, maybe it's because, you know, even though all the main characters are rabbits, this is not a talking animals book, right? It's not one of those cutesy little things like Wind in the Willows that I never really got into. Adams, when he was writing this, he didn't talk down to his readers. He assumed that they were ready to follow wherever he led them. And so, unusual for children's literature, there is violence and loss and true danger in this book. You know, characters die unpleasantly. The rabbits live in fear of mankind and all of their enemies, and they accomplish great things despite. They do what no rabbit has done before, and they find a new world for themselves. And of course, they're forced to fight for it. You see, our heroes, as we begin, are living in an idyllic life in a warren in England. They do what rabbits do. They eat, they sleep, they mate, they entertain themselves. But there's this one rabbit, Fiver, who can see more clearly than the others, let's say. He can sense danger, and he can grasp the shape of the future, and he knows that any rabbit who stays where they are will most certainly die. And with his brother Hazel, Fiver and a small group of rabbits leave their home. You know, they do what rabbits never do. They explore. They go through these dense woods, they cross deep streams, they hide in gardens, and they search for the best place they can find to set up their new warren. You know, a safe place high up in the hills, where they can see all around, where the ground is dry and easy to dig. They look to build a new society, as so many humans have done in our history. And what's more, they try to build the best society that they can. They need leadership, of course, but how much? I mean, how much freedom should the ordinary rabbit have to live its life? This question becomes more and more important when they meet the cruel General Wundwort, the de facto leader of the Warren known as Ephrafa. Now, the battle that they have, in the end, choosing between personal liberty and the safety of the Warren, is emblematic of so many struggles that have gone on in our world, and that continue even today. You know, through a tale about rabbits, Adams manages to tell us about ourselves, which, honestly, is the mark of a great writer. And as cynical as I have become in my years, and let me tell you, I have become really cynical, I still find this story to be honest and true. You know, Adams isn't trying to make an allegory. He's not trying to grind an axe, and he could. If you read this and you read one of his other books, Plague Dogs, you can see that Adams has a very, very definite point of view when it comes to humans' treatment of animals, and it's not a very positive one. Here, he's trying to tell a good story, you know, about hope and perseverance and triumph over adversity, a story with, as Tolkien put it, applicability, that we can then overlay onto our own lives and our own experiences. The fact that the main characters are rabbits is kind of, you know, incidental. No, not really. I mean, another layer to this story, then, on top of all those great themes, is the culture that Adams has created for his characters. You know, the stories of Frith and Elrera, who are sort of the god character, and then the trickster Robin Hood hero character of the rabbits. These stories are sometimes deep, sometimes meaningful, they're fun or silly, but they're always relevant, and they're rich, you know, in the tradition of oral storytelling. And there's a language to the rabbits, which is used regularly throughout the book. Now, the clue that I gave last week is an example of that lapine language. Silfle hraka uemblira translates roughly as "eat excrement, you king of the stink," or "stinking king," something like that. It's a great phrase, too. Silfle hraka uemblira. Commit that one to memory. Remember it. Use it in your next performance review. It'll make you feel better. But anyway, Adams did a lot of research. He looked into the habits of rabbits and how rabbits live in the wild, and you can see that research everywhere. He made it very real and very true to, you know, actual rabbits, which is unusual, again, for talking animal literature. Anyway, in my opinion, every young person should read this. Hell, every older person should read it too. If you haven't read it, read it. Every time I read the story, it moves me. I can hear the voices of the characters clearly. I can see what they see. I'm inspired by the steadfastness of Hazel, the strength of Bigwig, and the resolve of Blackavar. I find qualities in these characters that I would like to possess, and that is as good a reason as any to love any book. And the movie, by the way, as an aside, the movie is also very, very good. Now, this is the late 1970s, I think, film. Don't go in for the new one that was made more recently. That's terrible. The original film, it was made with great respect for the book. It stays very closely to the themes and the characters and the language, and it is really good. It's also very violent. It's an extremely violent and bloody book. They did not downplay that. Maybe we were a little more mature in the late 70s. I don't know, but it's a bloody movie. If you got kids, maybe not the best animated rabbit movie for them to see right now. But keep it for them. When they get older, they will appreciate it. As another side note, slightly more tangential, this book is the reason I got into the Magic the Gathering collectible card game way back in college. If you've never played it, it is this horribly addictive little card game thing. It's hard to explain. Go to Wikipedia and look it up, but don't get into it. It's really, you know, hard to get out. It's worse than crack or smoking. Anyway, for a long time, my friends were playing, and I thought it was just some stupid card game, you know, with no cultural merit or imaginative merit. Then I came across a card entitled The Thunder Spirit, which was a creature card, and it had a quote from Watership Down on the bottom. The quote was this: It was full of fire and smoke and light, and it drove between us and the Ephrafans like 1,000 thunderstorms with lightning. Ooh, still gives me goosebumps. Anyway, I saw that and I thought, oh, maybe there's something to this, and the rest was very expensive history. So, my dream was always to get a Thunder Spirit card autographed by Richard Adams. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Probably not. Anyway, that is Watership Down by Richard Adams. Let me leave you with a quote. This quote is from Frith, the rabbit god, to El Herrera, the sort of rabbit, like I said, hero figure. And he says, "All the world will be your enemy, prince with 1,000 enemies. And whenever they catch you, they will kill you. But first, they must catch you, digger, listener, runner, prince with a swift warning. Be cunning, and your people will never be destroyed." So that is Watership Down. Like I said, it is one of my top shelf books. It's one of those books that I will always love, which is strange, you know, when you think about books you loved when you were a kid, how very, very, very few of them you can carry with you to your adulthood. This is one of them. So it gets my highest recommendations. What can I say? All right, I'm actually coming in on less time than I have in the last couple weeks, and that's good, because you people, I'm sure, are very busy and you have things to do. So, let me give you the clue for next week's book. Now, I chose next week's book because of the current news of the Mexican super, you know, man-bird-pig flu. So, if you've read the book, you already know exactly which book I'm talking about. If you haven't read the book, then you might want to go and Google the words Captain Trips. And that is your clue, Captain Trips. So, with that, thank you all for coming again. And, yeah, have a nice week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say, or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, which means feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.